What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Before we get started, I want to give you a heads up that this episode does discuss racism and police brutality. Back in 2015, a young man named Freddie Gray died while in Baltimore police custody. There was a messy investigation which uncovered that his death was the direct result of excessive force and brutality by the officers who arrested him. Freddie Gray's death and the protests that happened afterward served as an inspiration for one of the most talented and singular playwrights of our time, Anna Deavere Smith. She is prolific in her writing and acting, and her process is kind of journalistic. Her plays are mostly one-woman pieces of what's called documentary theater. She interviews dozens, sometimes hundreds of people, and then performs a series of monologues based on their verbatim answers. She even practices their speech patterns. So folks in the audience at an Anna Deavere Smith play will watch people of all different races, ages, genders, played by one woman. Or in the case of the current production at Timeline Theater in Chicago, three women.
We're back there like, you are going to pry this script out of our cold, dead hands. We're never giving these scripts. What? Have you counted the words in this thing?
This is Shareba Rivers. She stars in Notes from the Field at Timeline Theater alongside Adonna Reed and Mildred Marie Langford. All three of these women are uniquely gifted in their own right. In the case of Shareba, when I saw the show, I sat next to someone who was raving about her even before the lights dimmed. At its core, Notes from the Field is about the school-to-prison pipeline. And that hits home for Shareba, as well as the show's director, Michael Burke, because they're both educators. But still, Michael found it daunting to figure out how to engage audiences without the usual spectacle of theater.
There is not a sort of self-contained story that we are watching. We're not watching Cinderella meet her prince over the course of 90 minutes, right? We're watching 19 monologues.
But Michael and Shareba have both found this process really rewarding, partially because of the questions it forced them to ask.
What is possible if we can take a moment to just listen and then act accordingly based on what we feel?
With a fairly simple set and a cast of three, Notes from the Field is moving and provocative. After seeing it, I had so many questions of my own. So I sat down with Shareba and Michael to ask, starting with Shareba. I wanted her to break down the main themes of the show in her own words.
Oh my goodness. Notes from the Field. It's about Black and brown people's experience with the educational system in this country and its relationship to the prison system in this country and how it affects Black and brown communities more than it does other communities and more devastatingly so. I am an educator, and so it is something that hits really hard. I am a third generation educator, and it is something that my mother and my grandmother and my great aunt also fought trying to make the educational system that was something that was beneficial for African-American people, something that was inviting, something that was nurturing. And I think actually when my grandmother and my great aunt and my mother were all teaching, I think it was actually a little bit better because I think the love and the nurturing happened in our schools when we were segregated. And that is something hard to say. What I try to tell people a lot of times is that when we integrated our schools, we bused our children to these other schools, but we did not bus our teachers. And so our Black and brown children got put into classrooms with white teachers that did not know them, that did not like them, and certainly did not love them. Mm. And so they were introduced to an educational system that we are now continuing to fight against our children being placed in these inadequate schools and getting, you know, inferior services and things like that. And it's hard to hear these stories mm-hmm. as an educator.
Wow, Shariba, thank you for that context. Some of the main themes that come up, tenderness, outrage. I mean, these are so many different emotions that come up. And I guess I just wonder, like, what are some of the main themes that this production pulls out for us and shows us about the world that we live in?
One thing that kept coming up for me is there's a needle being threaded in this play, or a line being drawn between the impulse to dominate, to handcuff, to force one into submission when they are exhibiting behaviors that you find uncomfortable or you have impatience with, the impulse to sort of punish rather than bring them closer. This tension between why do we choose to punish, to handcuff, to debilitate, to destroy broken people. Brian Stevenson talks about this, about why do we want to kill brokenness? Why do we want to hurt brokenness? In contrast to embracing one another as, you know, I'm broken too. We're all broken. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can do together. We have to look at each other as people. We have to look at each other as you know, people who are worthy of being embraced, of worthy of being cared for, of worthy of being helped rather than destroyed. And I think that, you know, the play comes at it from a myriad of different perspectives, but that's the thing that really sits on my heart when I go through the experience of it, is that I think it's calling us out for our propensity to push one another away when they don't play by the rules we think they should, rather than to lean in closer and ask why, what is happening, what do you need, to help them along together.
Let's go ahead and get into this first monologue, Shariba, because let me tell you. This is the eulogy at what would have been Freddie Gray's funeral given by Pastor Jamal Harrison Bryant.
Yes.
And the show I was at, we might as well have been your congregation. The people were calling and responding. It was like real church. I was crying. And I kept thinking, like, how this must feel for you. I kept wondering how this must feel for you on stage. You are in character. The audience is not. Mm-hmm. But we are all having this church experience. Yeah, how is that for you on stage?
Some nights it's pretty exhilarating to get people to get on board and get, you know, into that. Just the other night, this man said, "Preach, pastor," and I was like, "Yes, I got one." There are other nights, though, that it affects me differently. Mm. I just recently, that towards the end, when I finally say Freddie broke out of the box, I struggled to get that out because I was so overwhelmed. I mean, because the line before that, he says, "I don't know how you can be Black in America and be silent with everything we're dealing with our children being gunned down in the street." Freddie, just like this boy in Luke chapter 7, he broke out of the box. And trying to find that for this entire congregation of people grieving, after you have just admitted, how can we be silent? Our children are being gunned down in the streets. Mm. It took everything I had to finish the rest of that. And then I walked backstage and I just cried. And mm-hmm. then I was like, okay, suck it up. You got to go out here and be toused in a few minutes, you know? But I walked in and the backstage folk were like, are you okay? And I was like, yep, it caught me off guard.
Yeah.
And you know, what a huge effort to try to console a family, a community of people that lost that young brother as violently. And it was just, it's heartbreaking. But there are nights that admittedly I get into Pastor Jamal and I absolutely love every second of him. Mm. Anna Deavere Smith talks about kind of the musicality in people's voices, and what she's looking for is kind of that uniqueness in, you know, their cadence and their, you know, that kind of thing. And I went down a rabbit hole. We had a dramaturg that gave us a video and he gave us the eulogy. But then I looked up Pastor Jamal myself and I found some of his sermons, and I just found myself just watching and listening and watching. He is dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, his cadence, the way he pronounces words, that Southern Baptist, it's just, I love him. I love him. And so, yeah.
Well, you made me love him. And I never met him. So never seen him in my life.
I have a friend who now looks him up every couple of days and watches another sermon. She's gone down the rabbit hole with me.
Yes. Michael, I also know that your art practice is extremely social justice oriented. Both of you have so many identities that overlap with the themes that come up with this production. Michael, I would love to hear you talk about that more. How does this show really hit home for you?
Yeah. It's a delicious question. So, you know, I am very, very particular in my work as a director that, you know, the stories that I choose to tell are stories that are putting, folks that have not often had the spotlight, bringing their voices front and center and seeing what we learn about ourselves, through listening to someone that we're not typically listening to. Mm. So that hopefully we leave the theater a little less scared of the people that are less familiar to us, and a little bit more open to the fact that there is a way forward that is built upon connection and trust. And so when I read this script, I was sort of, I was very moved, and B, I was like, this sits right in the pocket of what I like, of what I sort of like my work to be. Mm-hmm. Because it's exactly that. It's asking us to listen to the folks that we don't often want to listen to, that don't often get the time of day, or that, you know, the congregation of that church gets to hear this man, you know, in a way that is unfiltered, but any of us outside of that particular community, you know, aren't always granted that same access. So things like that were just really exciting to me, that I want the audience, you know, an audience coming to my shows, I want them to lean forward. I want them to engage. I want them to talk back and participate, because their presence is necessary and a part of the thing. And I think that is how, you know, we don't put ourselves in someone else's shoes by sitting back and letting it happen. That's an active choice to imagine myself in someone else's life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So often, you know, when we're doing plays that are about things that are fake, you know, there's always this question of why this play and why now? And, you know, is the play really doing anything to change the world? Or is it just telling a pretty story with a bow at the end? And, you know, this piece and much of Miss Oeuvre is, you know, absolutely sort of putting the audience in the hot seat and saying, and now what are you going to do about this? You don't get the option of walking away feeling like you've done the work already because you saw the show. The show is like, no, no, the work begins now as you get up and leave. What are you going to do about it?
Shariba, as a person who is a performer, I can't imagine how you must be feeling. How do you handle reflection and personal care when you have to give so much to these characters and the content is so heavy?
These stories have to be told. People need to hear them. They need to then get up and walk away and do something with what they've heard or what they've, you know, been impacted by. And before I go on stage and at the end of my night, I try to connect to my ancestors. I ask for their permission. I thank them for their grace. I thank them for walking with me. And the stories are hard to hear sometimes, but they're necessary. And I think that that is what keeps me from going to a place that's not helpful for me. As an educator, I need to hear over and over again, children need adults as their allies. One of the things that somebody said about me one time was that you could get your students to do anything. Mm. And I think it's because they knew I loved them. They knew that I loved what I did. And so I came into that. I came in prepared. I came in ready to adapt. If that's not what they were feeling today, we're going to figure something else out. So, because this was about them. This was about their education and their interaction with literature and learning to love it and grammar and learning to love it. And just because I love it, it doesn't mean anything if they're not loving it.
Yeah.
So I learned how to adapt for them. And I hear that. I hear that in these stories is how adults need to see these children as human beings that are going to be their next door neighbors, that are going to be the people that are helping them, you know, across the street in a couple of years, because we can't get across the street as fast as we used to. I mean, you know, we need to see these little humans and respect them as that.
Shariba Rivers is one of three amazing, fantastic actors in Notes from the Field. Shariba, thank you.
Thank you, Erin. So nice to be on. Thank you.
Michael Burke is the director of Notes from the Field at Timeline Theater. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Erin. This was delightful.
Notes from the Field runs until March 24th. For tickets and more info, you can go to timelinetheater.com. And FYI, Timeline Theater is an underwriter for WBEZ. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a quick reminder, The Rundown is listener supported. That means we create this show for you and with you. If you love coming here to get all you need to know about what's up in Chicago, chip in what you can. Put your money where your ears are at wbez.org/rundown donate. And thank you. I'm Erin Allen. I'll talk to you tomorrow.